Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Caleb Williams was working so hard just to not get smushed by all the Houston Texans swarming all over the place in a 19-13 victory over the Bears to improve to 2-0 last night in Sunday Night Football. I'm Paul Gallant. He's Joe George. Sean Mabes behind the glass. The thing that I'm most impressed by in a game where the Texans left a lot on the table, again, is just how violent and dominant the defense was here, Joe. Stopping the run, making Caleb Williams' life hell, just putting shoulders into people, violently putting them into the turf. That impressed me in a game where there's a lot of things that certainly were left on the table.
Yeah, they had a shot to do, I mean, a chance to basically just do whatever they wanted throughout this game on defense. I mean, they shut down the run game. I think what you said there, the violence, like the violence in which they attacked the Bears, it looked different than what we saw at any point in time last year, I would say. I mean, I don't know if it's just Petrie. Like, I think a lot of it is Petrie. Like the way he's hitting guys, it's a whole nother level again. I mean, it's even different than what he was as a rookie. He just looks like a different ball player. So I'm with you. The defense was incredibly impressive in this game.
Yeah. And I think what you got to wonder about is what they did last night more indicative of who they are as a defense, or is it what they did in that first game of the year where they were giving up the big plays like they did? Last night, there was not a single moment where I felt like the Bears had a chance offensively. Not one.
I'm okay with what happened week one, because I think I think they are a good defense like we saw in week one and week two, but the big plays did happen. And that was more, doesn't it feel like luck more now after 2 weeks of Anthony Richardson? Or just like he got kind of lucky on that, and the Texans had a bad beat. I mean, he threw that first touchdown pass he ripped that thing down the field. We talked about it last week. How many quarterbacks can make that throw? So like, I don't want to think that the big plays they gave up in week one at this moment is who the Texans are. You know, now Caleb couldn't do anything down the field versus the Texans. They didn't even try that much, it felt like. So I think that who they were in week two can be more closely to who they are throughout the entire season, which is an attacking defense that
swarms
and, you know, I don't think blitzes 41% of the time. Like, I don't think we're going to see that very often again. But in a defense that's led by a coach that can adjust his game plan very clearly based on who they're playing against.
They got emboldened because of the success that they were having early, and they did send the house a lot. But if you see a rookie quarterback like that, yeah, you keep doing it. And Williams, for his part, I thought he showed a lot of toughness in that game. But ultimately, you still have to make sure that you're staying on top. They did that. And the next step is going to be just continuing to do the same things over and over again and not shooting yourself in the foot. But I felt like the Texans defense didn't do much of that. There were a couple of calls, but for the most part, I think just the hitting that they did over the course of 60 minutes makes me feel really good that this defense can win you games against teams that maybe have offenses that we think are better than the Texans, or with quarterbacks that we think are better than CJ Stroud. It's one thing to do it against Caleb Williams and another to do it against Patrick Mahomes. No doubt about it. But I think any quarterback in the NFL would have had their hands full last night.
Well, and that's what's so much, just so encouraging about the 2-0 Texans right now is that your offense hasn't – your passing game has not really been the reason why you're 2-0. I mean, in week one, it's Joe Mixon, 159 rushing yards, and they're dominating the Indianapolis Colts. Week two, it's your defense. They're swarming. They're attacking. They're hitting hard. And they're the reason why you won this game. Now it's just like, we all know that CJ can win you a game at some point this season. But to see the other elements, Kyamie Fairbairn, as we've talked about, you know, what was it, 650-yard field goals in the first two games?
650-yard field goals, back-to-back games. No NFL kicker's ever done that.
Crazy.
It was at five. I think he had tied the record, and then he got the 6-1. Because I heard Mark Vandermeer say that on the call, and I was surprised. I figured... In today's NFL, with so many kickers that are bombing it from long range, I figured, well, maybe somebody's got that.
Yeah.
Nope, Fairbairn's the first. And Fairbairn, I mean, the two best players on the field for the Texans yesterday were Kyamie Fairbairn and Nico Collins.
And that's where you can you can criticize the offense, I think, very fairly out of this game, is that, you know, through 2 weeks, you've needed Kyamie Fairbairn to be the best kicker in the NFL and have 650-plus yard field goals. And I don't expect that to be something that continues throughout the season, but it's just, it's when there are a lot of things to criticize, seeing them win in different ways is very much a positive thing. When you just know that at some point CJ's going to go off, and if you can go off and your defense can play like this, you're not going to be winning close games like this. Like, you'll be dominating teams, because it's still funny, like, how much of a blowout yesterday feels like, even though they didn't cover the spread.
They're never going to cover the spread. I think I have to accept that. I want my style points. I want my blowout. I asked for a blowout on Friday. I am now coming to the point where, even though the Texans have all this hype going into the year and they should blow some teams out, I mean, if it was going to happen, it was going to happen last night. But they left a lot on the board, and that's because Tank Dell drops what would have been a touchdown pass. It's because Cam Akers puts the ball on the ground, which he does a lot of. There are a bunch of moments where they shot themselves in the foot, and this game could have been worse. And yeah, you can definitely make the argument that a smarter team or a better team would have taken advantage of those mistakes. But I don't know. Last night, the defense, I thought, put on a masterclass.
What is your, like, when you look at, like, what's the defensive line, were you surprised to see the impact that the defensive tackles had again in this game?
Because Mario Edwards is a good player.
I know. I didn't think he was going to be this good when they signed him and moved him inside.
It's been like this since training camp.
Yeah.
He has been disruptive constantly. Foley Fatukasi as the secondary piece. I thought that there was a chance that they would regret not having done more at defensive tackle. But no. I mean, weirdly, right now, the position I still have questions about, safety. I want to say Eric Murray had a bad missed tackle.
And the penalty from Kalen Bullock.
Kalen Bullock, he has such great range. I could tell he just didn't see that the receiver was there. He jumped that perfectly.
He
dove, and that Bears receiver was in his way. Felt like they shouldn't have called interference on that. But whatever, I'm biased. I think we shouldn't call penalties on any defenders half the time. I mean,
they were sure... they were throwing them with a little caution, I would say, in yesterday's game. Like the refs were, they did make that game drag out a lot more than it needed to.
Yeah, the game was
slow. It was slow.
It was, the first half was fun. The second half, I was like, and I think part of it had to do with the fact that the Texans just kept shooting themselves in the feet and being sloppy.
Yeah. But this game, it's just, there is a lot to take away. Like while... like, it is a rookie quarterback. I do think that the biggest thing we saw from the Texans in this game was that the Bears were having success moving the ball very quickly down the field. And, you know, but then the Texans and D'Amico, like, they really found a adjustment. Okay. I was distracted too. Okay. Yes, it was.
That was him.
It was Dan Patrick. Right?
Yeah, we were just doing a segment, and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick just walked in next to Sean and just like walks out, and I was like, wait a second, is that Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick?
Yes.
And I went on Google and I looked it up, and I was like, that is definitely Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
Yeah, like there's a lot of moments where people like walk in the studio, just like, oh, like, hey, what's going on? And I looked up too, and I was like, oh,
yeah.
Like,
anyway, sorry, okay, we got it's sidetracked. Okay. I literally just asked the Twitch. I was like, I'm not crazy, am I? Because he just like came in next to Sean. He like took a picture of us in studio and he just leaves. I'm like, wait a second, what the hell?
Yeah.
Did you know he was coming today?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that wasn't even our guy showing him around.
No. Oh. Glad I didn't say anything weird that segment.
Yeah. I didn't know it was him.
I kind of wish he would have said something weird now. You never know what would happen.
No, that's true.
You never know.
It's true. You never know anything anymore. Yeah. But you do know that the Houston Texans are 2-0.
And they swarmed.
They swarmed all over the place last night. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text. And you can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston or Twitch at ESPN 975. From the 936, when Harris comes back, Christian Harris, between him, Azeez, and Petrie, somebody is going to get knocked out for the year. That poor tight end for the Bears, who got hit in the shoulder. It's rare that a hit to somebody's shoulder where everyone thought it was like a helmet-to-helmet hit, but then on replay it was fine. It's rare that a hit like that, where a guy who is smaller than the person he's hitting, Jalen Petrie is smaller than that tight end.
Cole Kmet is 6'6", 260.
He's 6'6", 260?
Yes.
I figured he was like 6'4", like 240.
No.
Holy crap. Yeah, he got jacked up.
Yeah. That hit was, whew, man.
I mean, he was dazed getting up, and he didn't even get hit in the head.
Yeah.
I think that was just something that stunned his
head. I couldn't tell if like the wind was knocked out of him, or he was just like, for a second there, just like, that really hurt. Like, that was not a fun contact play, but it was clean. I'm glad they picked up the flag and reviewed that. That's where replay's good, because they literally threw it just because it looked like he hit him in the head, and he didn't. It was perfect.
Sheesh.
Jalen Petrie.
Sheesh. Henry Toto. Sheesh.
Will Anderson. Sheesh. Maybe that should be a new segment on Monday.
Neil Hunter. Yeah, because you can't say jacked up anymore.
Yeah, just sheesh.
Sheesh.
I think we can still say jacked
no,
up.
No, 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 you can't. They stopped that. What? The mothership stopped that. The mothership stopped
So on like the ESPN Plus Berman show, they don't do that anymore?
No, no, no.
No, they don't do it.
You got players' families to think about.
They stopped it like...
bitch. Come on.
They stopped it like 15 years ago, too.
Did they?
Yeah. Look at this guy. He wants violence again. And I mean, it was great to see the Texans inflicting violence on the Bears.
It was clean violence.
This guy wants violence.
Violence is okay when it's clean violence.
Joe wants us to laugh at people getting jacked up.
No.
Coming home to their families.
No targeting.
Coming home to their families, not knowing where they've been the last couple of hours.
No, they know where they've been. Their ribs might feel like they're in different spots. Those are different.
Jacked Up was a segment on Monday Night Countdown from 2002 to 2006.
It was only 4 years?
And yeah, most recently, 18 years ago?
Guys, I'm going to be honest. I did not think it was that long ago that Jacked Up stopped.
I would have guessed,
I thought they were still doing that like in the 2010s.
I would have guessed like, yeah, 09, 10 range. Once they changed all the rules, that's about when...
Tell the truth.
Yeah.
Tell the truth. I haven't seen that movie yet. I have it on DVD. I've not seen it yet. Will Smith in Concussion.
I don't think I'm ever going to watch it.
I think I need to someday, but I have to really be in the right mindset. And by being in the right mindset...
Have a concussion?
Yeah, honestly, that might be the way to go do it.
All right, so they're in the media.
I'm going to Gus Frerotte myself. I'm going to run into a wall, like hit my neck on it, and then we'll see what happens.
And then just watch it after. Makes sense.
He is Joe. I am Paul. Sean is behind the glasses. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stay put.
This is Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Three and five. Williams hit, sacked by Daniel Hunter at the 39-yard line.
Oh, he got ripped, but you got to get up.
Texans
4!
That was great. They sacked him 7 times last night.
Yeah.
They hit him 11. The pressure number was 20. It was probably more. That poor bastard, Caleb Williams, last night. Oh, my. I mean, I can't even imagine how sore he feels today.
I know. He's got to be. That plane ride home had to be tough.
At least he's in his 20s.
Yes.
Early 20s. Because if that's a veteran quarterback... Do you even practice this week?
You might not play for a month if you're a veteran quarterback.
I can't believe he made it through that game. I actually have found some respect for Caleb Williams in this game. Clearly, not his best day as a thrower. Mm-hmm. He had two interceptions. He looked like a rookie out there, but I thought he was tough at the very least, and also very slippery.
Yeah, there's still moments in this game, like the early on, the quick stuff, evading the sacks, where she's like, okay, like there's, I'm not gonna. He's not Bryce Young. He's not Bryce Young yet. Because I do feel like with Bryce Young, part of it is that this kid got killed for a year in Carolina and had no protection, and he's seeing ghosts on a football field. Where, like, that's kind of what David Carr went through, where, like, it was so bad so early that, like, this is why people try to say Chicago was this, like, elite place for Caleb Williams. And it's like, well, like, instead of drafting a center, they drafted a punter. Like, this moron GM. Like, congrats.
The really funny thing that we've seen the last 2 years has been how the situations that Bryce Young and Caleb Williams found themselves in right out of the chute were explained to us as being these great situations. And you mentioned it with Caleb Williams this offseason. People were saying the same thing about Bryce Young last offseason.
100%.
And then about at the end of the year, everyone said, oh, well, actually, he had nothing to work with. But they said C.J. Stroud had the worst supporting cast going into last year. Mm-hmm. It's funny how things change in a year and we just completely forget what we saw. But I do think that Bryce Young getting benched today raises an interesting question about how you're supposed to go about it with the young quarterback. I'm a big believer that you put the guy out there because then you know whether or not he can make it happen. And I think the big problem that a lot of NFL teams have is that when the guy doesn't do well, they start thinking to themselves, it's the situation around. And it might be the situation around a quarterback that leads to struggles. But after a while, you're going to have a pretty good feel for whether or not this guy can make it happen. With Bryce Young, he's not going to make it happen. He's just not big enough. He could be a backup somewhere, sure. But I think that sometimes people are just married to this idea that guys should sit behind a really good quarterback for a time because it worked for Aaron Rodgers and it worked for Patrick Mahomes. But both of those guys were playing for good organizations with good starters, if not great starters in the case of Favre, mm-hmm. Alex Smith in front of Mahomes, in front of them. I think you put those guys out there, and guess what? The sooner you know, the sooner you can make the next decision, even though it probably is going to involve another general manager and another coach.
Yeah, you can make the next decision on if you have to, you know, find a new quarterback or if you have a fundamental flaw with your organization. And, you know, seeing rookie quarterbacks, it's why one of the reasons why philosophically, one of the things I hate that organizations do, and I think it's stupid, is leaving a head coach and a GM to select a rookie quarterback. Because what happens?
Yeah.
That quarterback struggles. You don't win a lot of games. That coach gets fired. And now your rookie quarterback is going into year two, just like Bryce Young did, just like Caleb Williams, I think, will at this point.
Yeah.
And they'll have the reset with a new GM. And that coach and GM will be asked in their first press conference, would you have drafted this guy last year? That's a stupid decision. The best organizations, the smart general managers, do what the Houston Texans have done. Do what the Dallas Cowboys did. What did they do? The Texans drafted Titus Howard. They drafted a first-round pick in Kenyon Green. Hasn't been super great. They traded for Laremy Tunsil. They invested in Shaq Mason at right guard. And they are having success because they invested in the offensive line. Patrick Mahomes went into a great situation. Like, putting these rookie quarterbacks in a situation in which you can't protect them and the game's already too fast for them, they're going to flop most of the time. And
fair. I do push back a little bit just on what the Texans offensive line is. They've invested a lot in it. I do wonder about it.
It doesn't mean
seven
they got
sacks
it all right.
The first 2 weeks.
100%. Like, it doesn't mean they got it right, but at least they tried. Like, at least they've put an effort.
That I agree with.
Yeah, they have one of the best left tackles in the NFL. Like, they've put an effort into their offensive line. When some of these organizations, they don't do that. And it's like they end up going into free agency and spending crazy money like the Panthers have done and getting kind of the same results.
You still need a guy that can stand in the pocket and that doesn't need to evade and get outside to make plays. And Young is that. Caleb Williams wants to be that. And I think really what I look at with C.J. Stroud and what I've seen out of him thus far, if you're looking for a successful quarterback in the NFL, you need a guy who isn't like a pocket passer of yesteryear, you know, a statue. I just mean you need to have somebody who knows how to stay in there. And I actually really wonder, like, going forward, how many guys are
that. And it's nothing wrong with escaping the pocket from time to time and making plays on the fly. You're going to need to do that because a lot of these kids are going to be coming into organizations where there's no offensive line and they have to run for their life like Caleb Williams did last night. But I wonder how many guys are actually capable of just making sure that they stay in there and being tough. Williams had no chance last night if he had done that, and he did the most that he could. But with Stroud, what was always interesting was that he had that poised, calm presence that is so damn rare to find. And I know last night wasn't Stroud's best game. There were a couple of near disasters and a couple of overthrows and underthrows and stuff. But like, he's clearly special. It's hard to find that trait because the situations don't really lend themselves to it. And you just have to have some guy who's kind of a psycho and has unflappable poise.
Yeah.
Offensive line.
I just think CJ, he might be a really like a once in a lifetime guy.
Oh yeah.
Like,
he just is like the calmness,
the demeanor. I mean, cause even when the pocket breaks down, he gets out of it and he still knows exactly where the ball is going to go. When Caleb, like you could see it yesterday, he's breaking out of the pocket and he doesn't really know how to find his guys. And maybe it's just, you know, it's their second game together, so they don't have that chemistry that CJ and Nico do. But we saw it last year with CJ. Like, he just, as soon as there's pressure, he knows how to evade it, and he knows how to make the right decision, even when he's getting sacked. Like, he's not making the dumb bonehead plays that a lot of rookie quarterbacks make.
He extends it, and then he does magical things when he extends it. And, I mean, if you aren't seeing it, if you're still not seeing it, I don't know what to tell you anymore. There's 4 to 5 plays a game where he does something that wows me. Just casual throws. The best throw I thought he had, and it's way better to see Stroud in person than it is on TV because you see just the touch. The throw that he had on the left sideline that Matt Eberflus challenged to Stephon Diggs, and Diggs comes down with it. It was just effortlessly thrown, perfect spot, perfect arc, perfect velocity, everything. And I don't know how you do that as often as he does, where sometimes the way he throws it, whether it's that laser that he threw to Nico Collins on 3rd and long against the Colts in week 1 or that throw. There's a couple of throws like that a game, and you're just like, damn. That's all you got to say.
Yeah, he's just, there's only like so many. Maybe it's like I feel like we grew up in a pretty good era of quarterbacks, like in the 2000s.
Tom Brady, man.
Like, you've got Brady and Manning and Breeze and Rodgers.
Yeah, well, you have Brady.
Yes.
And also you have Manning.
Yes, and Breeze and Rodgers and even guys like Eli Manning and Philip Rivers, and like there's a lot of really good quarterbacks, and maybe it's now we're seeing the a lot less talent just in the league, and that's what makes Stroud seem extra special. But there is just, it's not just wowing in the moment where just he makes throws every week where I'm just like, how many guys right now in the NFL can make that throw? And it feels like the list is consistently less than 5.
Mm-hmm.
Like he is just in that rare air where it's a throw that I feel like a lot of quarterbacks should be able to make, but he does it so effortlessly and so perfectly at least once or twice a game. It surprises you.
He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. You want to weigh in on the Texans' 19-13 win over the Bears? You can. Or the Astros series sweep of the Angels? You can. Or anything else that happened in the NFL. Like today, Bryce Young getting benched for Andy Dalton. Shout out to Katie! It's Gallant and George. Stay put. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.com. .ag, you go to the website, promo code BET975. They're going to double your initial deposit. You get to play with that money right away, whether it's with live dealers playing blackjack or poker. I wish that there were odds on who would the first quarterback benched be, because Bryce Young definitely would have been up there, but I'm still stunned by what happened today. But MyBookie has awesome promos that you can join if you're part of their new loyalty program, which is called MyBookie Plus. The more you play, the more you win. There's tiers of loyalty rewards, and as you go further and further into them, you get more promotions, giveaways, and bigger rewards. And there's also some awesome weekly promotions. Like on Thursday, if you bet, you win. If you lose,
you don't lose. MyBookie will refund your wager on Thursday if you make a bet and you don't get it during football season. I know, it's insane. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Big offensive start so far for Stratt. Pressure coming from the edge. He gets away from Kyler Gordon. On the run, Hennessy completes it to Collins at the 38-yard line. What a play.
The little Collinsworth. Come on, here's the guy who just knows how to make magic happen, Mike. I mean, I tell you what. I'm not even sure which highlight that was. Because there were 3 to 4 plays between C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins just like that, Joe.
Yeah, I guess that was like the breakdown where I guess like Nico ended up catching it like to the right side of the field on the sideline. I mean, look, he's just... Those two guys were money last night. Like they know exactly where they're going to be, even though I guess what Nico said he doesn't know. He doesn't know where he's...
He doesn't know. How to figure out how to be in the right spot for C.J. Stroud. But clearly he does, and he had 8 catches for 135 yards and a touchdown. I think he's the only NFL receiver to have 100-plus yards the first 2 games of the season.
I mean, I think he's just bluffing. He just doesn't want to tell the secret. He's just, you know, we're gonna lie to the people.
I mean, it is as simple as just go to the right spot.
Yeah,
you should know if you know the routes around you, and you know where your quarterback likes to move. Then you know.
But a lot of them, it's not like he's just, you know, C.J. Stroud's running to his right to the sideline. And then Nico Collins is also running to the sideline. It's like, no, sometimes he just throws it across his body and breaks up field. And it works out because it's C.J. Stroud throwing the ball and Nico Collins catching the ball. But there is some sort of just like, I do buy that Nico Collins just sometimes is like, yeah, I just kind of run to a spot that I think is going to be open. C.J. Stroud puts it at my hands. Like, that just is what happens. He almost did it to Tank Dell later in the game, too.
It's one of those where it just makes me laugh a little bit, like, thinking about the offseason and just, like, how much they were, like, not kind of struggling in training camp a little bit, the offense was, because it's so clear that maybe they just can't be this in training camp when you're not going full speed and you're not tackling and you're not just finding the gaps and in the defense and everything's way more structured. Cause that's what is so special about this, you know, offense with CJ. It's like, just breaks down just a little bit and he can just do so much with it. Like that's why I think he is in that category at times with Mahomes and Allen, is they just, when things just go slightly a little bit wrong, like, you just know they're going to find a way to have some kind of magic.
Yeah, that's really the difference between, like, great quarterbacks and good ones. It's like the great quarterbacks, it's the plays where things go wrong that they can still get a positive play. I mean, it wasn't last night. It was against the Colts. But on their first drive where C.J. Stroud slips and is on his knees and throws a first down pass. It's like that stuff like that where, you know, some of these quarterbacks that you watch on Sunday, it's like, there's no way Will Levis throws the ball in the wrong direction if that happens.
How would each of the quarterbacks in the AFC South screw that up? Now, Will Levis would somehow find a way to one-up himself, which he literally has done now, because it was one thing to throw a underhand pick six to a Bear defender. It's another thing to lateral it backwards, but not even a good lateral.
No, not that far either.
While knocking on the door in a close game against the Jets. So Levis would just do something funny.
Yes.
He's a stand-up comedian. You, with Anthony Richardson, would just see him throw the ball into the stands accidentally.
Yeah.
And with Trevor Lawrence would overthrow it by like 3 to 4 yards.
I don't think Lawrence gets back up. I think Lawrence just kind of like falls down, like slams the ball on the ground.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, dude, you have to get touched to be down in the NFL.
I mean, like the safety he took this weekend was ugly.
Yeah.
Like it just who do you think has the – they have to have the most regret in the division right now, right? Because they just paid him. But like none of these teams can feel great about their quarterback situation at the moment. Levis is a disaster.
They definitely feel worse about their – quarterback situation today than they did Friday before week one. I think in all those local markets, they're probably higher on their quarterbacks 2 weeks ago than they are now.
I would say power rankings. I mean, Will Levis is a second round pick for the Titans. They are not married to him. They're not. Just because he was predicted to be a top 10 pick by some, that has no bearing on whether or not he's going to last long term there. So, for Tennessee, they could potentially pull out with the new head coach. If you're the Colts and you're a fan of them, there's enough flashes with Richardson where you can still sell yourself on him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The long game.
He's gonna play out. They'll be doing this song and dance. This is Fields 2.0. They're going to be doing this song and dance through his whole rookie contract.
I think that's a great point. And, yeah. And there will be, let's just say, a specific group of people who are very supportive of Richardson even when things are hitting the fan for reasons that don't have anything to do with football. And then you've got Trevor Lawrence. If you're the Jaguars, if you're a fan of that team, you've lost 8 of your last 9 games, and he's the quarterback for you right now, and you just gave him that extension. I mean, at least in the case of Tua Tagovailoa and you're the Dolphins, like, the big question is really health-related.
Mm-hmm.
What, is Lawrence getting hurt? And I'm not saying Jaguars fans are rooting for Lawrence to get hurt, nor should they be rooting for Lawrence to get hurt. What I'm saying is they're stuck with him, and he's not what he was billed as.
That's why I think Doug Peterson's going to be like on a major hot seat here, because when you commit to a quarterback, like, someone's got to get the blame, and they don't blame the guy that, like, literally, think about it. He embarrassed himself this weekend when they did this stupid Trevor Bank thing. They called it Trevor Bank Stadium. Like that, like that's the kind of performance you put out.
Trevor Bank Stadium and like, Deshaun Watson outguns you.
Yeah.
I guess.
Like that's a tough weekend for Trevor Lawrence. So I like they're gonna have to blame somebody, and they're not gonna blame him, but
I don't know.
Because you can't really. Like you paid him.
He's clearly the problem. And I mean, I've never been more proud of a take than I had coming out of college. Everyone loved Lawrence and I never got it. I was like, okay, he's tall, he's pretty athletic, he's got a good arm, but everyone acted like he was this unbelievable prospect, and I thought to myself, he's playing at effing Clemson in the ACC. Can we relax a little bit? And it's not like he's had some good moments, of course, out of conference, but I just remember Lawrence was billed as this incredible prospect, and I think we got to, especially today, with Bryce Young getting benched, with Caleb Williams at least struggling. Can we wait? Do we have to crown everybody before they're drafted? Well, I almost wonder, what is the point of any of these people who do their pre-draft analysis when about the quarterbacks, we are so routinely wrong and we forget that we're wrong. People thought Young was the best.
Mm-hmm.
They threw the biggest temper tantrum when the Texans had the audacity to win a football game and miss out on the number one overall pick. And I'm going to, again, pat myself on the back there because I thought you guys were crazy. Most rookie quarterbacks are probably not the guy, and we put these expectations on them like they will be because they're a top five pick, and we forget in the next year, oh, this year's class is different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
I mean, look, like, we just got this text from Jamie. The Bears made a great trade with Carolina, 5 picks for the number one pick. How can you say that after everything you've seen with C.J. Stroud? Because people still want to crown Caleb Williams. I think he's still going to be good, but it's what you're saying. 2 games in, people seem to not care that Ryan Poles passed on C.J. Stroud. Like, C.J. Stroud is a generational quarterback coming out of the draft. A guy that some people didn't think should be the number 2 pick. On draft day, before he's picked by the Texans, there's people on ESPN and on the NFL Network saying they should take Anthony Richardson with the 2nd pick. People don't know. We don't know how to evaluate quarterbacks. Like, that's one thing that's so clear, is that there is no exact science, because so much of what matters is not the quarterback anymore. It's the organization and just how much of a dumpster fire you are. And the Texans, at the time, looked like a dumpster fire. But they figured it out in a major way really quick. And that's why I think you're right. Like, we should wait. I mean, they're not the best players going at the top of the draft. The best players are, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers and Joe Alt. Those are probably the three best players in this year's draft. And none of them went number one. Joe Alt went number five, like, to the Chargers because they're not quarterbacks. So, like, I get why it's so important, but the hit rate is, like, it's less than, it's like 40% of guys that are drafted in the first round that are actually good.
And then the next question you got to ask is, like, okay, what is a hit? How do you define a hit?
Because I think in a lot of ways you would say Trevor Lawrence because he got that second contract.
The funny thing is, Lawrence, you'd like Lawrence as a quarterback. But you like him for a while, and then you get bored with him.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I'm a commitment phobe. Like, I feel like this is a relationship that you get bored with. Because it's good. It's really good. It's better than being single. But,
yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of things that you got to, like, appreciate. You have to appreciate the imperfections. After a while, we all have, I think, a very short amount of patience for those things that we don't like.
Look at Jared Goff. He's a first-round pick. He got paid. He went to a Super Bowl, and they still got rid of him. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how you define, like, a successful quarterback anymore because it's just they're coming and going in such different ways. Like, you've got, you know, he struggled yesterday against the Vikings, but you've got, you know, Brock Purdy, the last pick of the draft. You've got guys like Dak Prescott who are fourth-round picks. You don't have number one picks really having success. Like, I mean, think about the history of the NFL, there were four quarterbacks who won their first game. David Carr and Caleb Williams are two of them. Like, think about how pathetic that is. The history. There's a quarterback taken first overall, like, every year, it feels like. So it just shows, like, how hard it is and how they just, the league, it's surprising, hasn't gotten any better at it. And to what you're saying, Paul, I think it's only going to get worse.
He is Joe. I am Paul. Sean's behind the glasses. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Last chance to dance on Galant and George. He is Joe. I am Paul. Only a few undefeated teams left in the NFL after week two. I do like this part about the NFL season. The college football year takes a little bit too long for reality to rear its ugly head for so many of these teams because they're all playing like directional booger picking state.
Yeah, yeah.
The left-handed little sisters of the poor, et cetera, et cetera. So to see that the Texans are one of just a few teams in the league that are undefeated makes you feel good, especially considering they've been rather sloppy in these two games. You think that they could be a lot better. The current unbeaten teams in the NFL, the ones who aren't surprising to be undefeated, the Chiefs at 2-0. The Bills at 2-0, a bit surprising for some, I would bet.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucs at 2-0, also a bit surprising for some, I would bet. But it's not, like, shocking you. And then you have Jim Harbaugh and the L.A. Chargers. It's not like the Chargers have really gone up against a gauntlet these first couple of games of the year. A little less surprising because it's Jim Harbaugh. They have Justin Herbert. Then you have this group. The Seahawks with the new head coach. The Steelers with Justin Fields. Not Russell Wilson under center. I guess Russell Wilson got a game ball or something yesterday.
No, he didn't. For what? Oh, my God.
Because they gave him vengeance over the Broncos, who mistreated him last year.
They defended his honor.
They defended his honor.
Did he win the coin toss or something?
I don't know, but they defended his honor. And then you got these two teams. The Saints are 2-0. They're the best team in the league based off of point differential.
Right now?
Plus 62. The Chargers are in second, plus 35. They've scored 91 points in the first two games. The Cardinals have scored second most, 69. Nice.
Nice.
The Saints, just based entirely off of these first 2 weeks, best team in the league. And then you got this team, who the Texans are going to play on Sunday. The Minnesota Vikings are 2-0, and they just beat the San Francisco 49ers with Sam effing Darnold under center.
I mean, this might... You never know. Like, now what we're seeing with Baker Mayfield, like, turn his career around, like...
You are seeing a bunch of very interesting...
And where do these guys play? The Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets and the Carolina Panthers. Both of them they were together.
Yeah.
Like, you play for trash, what happens? You're trash. Like, it's two games, but like Justin Fields is 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
And he has more passing touchdowns this year than Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. So, like, you never know.
You seem upset about that. Do you think Justin Fields is better than Caleb Williams?
No, but I think...
the stats say that he is.
The stats do say that. They do.
Do they? They have him up.
And barely.
On ESPN right now.
Oh, they're really showing both stats?
Yeah. He was,
that's funny.
No, just Fields. And he was 13 for 20, 117 yards and a touchdown.
In two games?
No, against the Broncos.
It's not about the yards. It's about...
I mean, Caleb was 23 of 37 for 174 and two picks. Like, it's like 60 yards passing difference.
The passing, I we talked about it after week one, how down the passing was after week one. Week two, just eyeball test, doesn't look that much better.
Right now, on like any of the websites you guys use for sports betting.
MyBookie.ag, promo code bet975.
The Houston Texans are plus 500 right now to be the last undefeated team in the NFL. Their odds are second. The Kansas City Chiefs are number one, followed by the Houston Texans. The Eagles are plus 550. That's probably mostly because they're 1-0. They haven't played yet.
They play the Falcons tonight. We'll see how that goes. I mean, they almost lost that game to the Packers.
Yeah.
And it's not like, it's not like the Packers played great. No one played great. That was another one of those very rough, drawn-out, low-energy Sunday night games like we saw the Texans last night. First half of that game was fun. The second half, my God, it just dragged.
I don't know what this means, like if they think a certain way about the Texans-Vikings game next week, but the Vikings are tied for last at plus 1,400.
That's probably what it is.
Because they think the Texans are going to win. Yeah. Even though as of right now, the Texans are only 1.5-point favorites.
Hell yeah, dude.
So if they're going to win and not cover, they're going to win by a point next week.
That's because the covering, they don't do that.
Yeah. So 1.5, that's a narrow margin though, Paul.
If they're ever going to see there, this is what Vegas is good. Because I'm like, well, if they're ever going to cover, it's this week. And then I'm saying, no, this is what Vegas wants me to say.
It's Lucy with the football. And by the way, got to worry about the deep shot.
That's true.
The Minnesota, little 97 yard touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Now, Justin Jefferson does have a quad injury, but yeah, I don't even know who the F Ty Chandler is for the Vikings, but Ty Chandler had 10 carries for 82 yards yesterday for Minnesota.
Wow.
Minnesota's good, and I think Kevin O'Connell deserves a ton of credit because, I mean, they were scrappy last year towards the end of the season, too, and they were without Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a well-coached football team, for sure.
And that's a tough place to play. Like, people don't really talk about the Vikings' home field advantage that much, but they play in that stadium that apparently is just like it just kills birds.
They fly into the ceiling.
The windows or something.
So, yes, glass ceiling. But that stadium gets really loud. They do the skull chants, which some are arguing Texans Swarm is a ripoff of. I find that offensive.
Really?
Texans looking to do something they've never done before this week.
What's that?
Beat the Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
0-5.
That's surprising.
That's a weird one.
Yep.
You know, I remember vividly the last time that they went to the Viking Stadium because it was the game where I think most people following the Texans realized, oh, Brock Osweiler's effing terrible. That was the game where everyone was like, oh, he's just bad.
First Texans game I ever went to was... Vikings, Texans, and then Bill O'Brien got fired the next day.
Damn,
wasn't great.
That was a Week 4 game.
Yeah, Week 4.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
Hopefully, D'Amico Ryans keeps his job.
I think we're okay.
Oh, okay.
I think we're okay.
I was just following the trends, you know.
Maybe that's why I said Doug Peterson after Week 4. You know.
Oh.
Follow the trends.
Follow the trends. Garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Justin Verlander, garbage?
No. Did he do something that makes him garbage?
No, I'm just asking.
Okay, no.
Deshaun Watson, garbage?
Yes, can confirm. Not good.
As a football player or human?
Both.
Oh, okay.
We've done that before.
I'm still not sure which one's more.
Well, they won, so he's oh, so right now he's a better definitely, football player.
Yeah,
he's better a winning quarterback
player.
Now.
Yeah, that's true. 500 quarterback.
I don't want to talk about this much tomorrow, but the worst thing that I saw this weekend, just a sign that Florida football is over.
Oh, no, 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 no. We have a dedicated college football segment. We will talk about that.
No, but I need to talk about it in garbage time,
too. Oh, that's fine, too.
Things are so bad for the Florida Gators, who, for those who don't know, I am a fan of. They had a player get ejected for targeting, and if you didn't see the target, here's what happened. A wide receiver was jumping up in front of a Gator defensive back, trying to make a catch. The Gator defensive player led with his helmet. Can you guess where the helmet went?
In his leg?
Directly into his ass. And he got called for targeting and ejected for his helmet hitting a player in the ass. I mean, this is just Florida Gator football right now.
It's a tough screenshot to have.
Thanks, Billy Napier.
I don't know what's worse, that or complaining about the quality of your field when A&M's just like running up and down.
It was so easy for A&M. Also, Florida State, garbage. You lose to Memphis.
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
What happened to Florida football?
Florida State.
Cash that under. First under of the season you can cash. Florida State's over-under was 9.5. They can't get there. It's over.
Definitely not. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to lose the first two games of the year.
It's another one to lose the third.
They might, they might have a job openings at Florida and Florida State this offseason.
Dude. You see the buyout for the buyout for Mike Norvell is Jimbo Fisher-esque.
Yeah, Norvell, lucky he just signed it, whatever, 9 months ago.
I mean, maybe Jimbo can help pay it off. He just got a lot of money.
Also, Florida State, looking ahead, Saturday. They host the 3-0 Cal Bears with a SEC win in their pocket.
ACC, I mean the Superior Conference. Yeah, big Syracuse Stanford game coming up too. ACC rivalry.
All right,
coming up on Saturday.
Which is the better school? We'll find out.
Oof, it's a great question. Many have said Syracuse just like Stanford. Mm-hmm. And on that note, that's going to wrap up today's edition of Gallant and George.
Oh, shout out to Purdue, by the way. Get right game for Notre Dame.
Oh, nice. Okay. I wasn't sure if you guys won. I figured, honestly, Notre Dame lost again.
They won.
And on that note, so long. Farewell. Big thanks to Sean. Big thanks to Joe. Big thanks to our texters, callers, Twitchers, and YouTubers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace.
ESPN. 97.5.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.